Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Nobody out. 3-2 on Charlotte.
Jokic gets it across the timeline. Gets a high pick and pop with Murray. Lindsay breaking through.
Taken away by Nathan MacKinnon. 2-on-2 with Landeskog.
He has done it again. Vaughn Miller, ladies and gentlemen.
Dump two hands. Nikola Jokic.
Save me by Grubauer with the left pad. Oh, goodness gracious me.
Take a good look. You won't see it for long. Two-run home run. Trevor Story.
Lock. End zone. Touchdown. Number two for Sutton.
Got it! Oh, man! That's from way downtown! And the blue arrow is flying at Pepsi Center.
Score! It's too good to be true, but believe it! Oh, hail, Kale!
Funky music. That'd be an amazing way to intro TDSP.
Oh, we're already gone.
Yep, so, and we're off.
We broke the ice. You know, Allie said she was going to cue me. She got a little distracted. Oh, I didn't see. I thought you were like, oh my God.
Uncued silent prompts. AJ quietly shaking his head in disapproval. Presented to you by Breckenridge Avalanche Ale.
Breckenridge Avalanche Ale. The best way to celebrate an Avs win and drink away an Avs loss.
That's right.
Something that we'll be talking about both of here today. Also want to remind you to nominate a stellar community member. So literally no one on this panel. But an Avs fan who should get a chance to celebrate at a playoff game this season. Each home game, Breck is hooking... What? You think you're a stellar community member?
I think I am a community pillar, sir.
I think it's beyond like DNVR Avalanche.
Let
though,
alone
you know.
A stellar community member. Son of a bitch.
Community leader AJ Hafley, yes.
God.
Objections.
I mean, I guess if we're talking about the Avs community, I was thinking of like the community at large.
Yeah. Not just DNVR.
Anyways, Breck is hooking up a fan and a good friend people. With tickets, gear, and of course, some Avs Amber Ale, of course. Wow. And they're going to donate a portion of all proceeds of sales of Avalanche Amber Ale through the playoffs to the Community Fund of Boulder County to benefit Marshall Fire victims. Okay. So today is an interesting one. I guess this is up for debate. AJ is of the belief that this is bad timing for this. I think it's actually perfect timing for me to intro the guests, which is, of course, AJ.
There are no guests. We're all regulars.
I would say hosts.
Aww.
Hosts, my hosts, my fellow hosts.
My fellow hosts.
Eric Weedham,
fair
D-Line,
enough, Allie.
A.K.A. Big Market D-Line.
Let's go.
Andre Simone, A.K.A.
What little
Professor Dre, the math magician.
Yep, good one.
And of course, AJ Hafley, aka the pillar of the community.
Yeah, okay. No doubt.
Okay,
I prefer community pillar.
Community pillar, community AJ Hafley. That's your Chiron.
I like that.
When you get interviewed on the news, it just says AJ Hafley, community pillar.
Exactly.
I'm actually gonna start using that in town if I ever have issues. Like, you don't know who I am, which I actually say all the time to everyone. And then I'm gonna say,
no one does.
I'm gonna tell community pillar AJ Hafley, my dear friend, about this. Dude, you don't know what mistake you just made.
Can you imagine the collapse that would take place if that single pillar was taken from the community? The community itself would collapse
good.
On itself.
It wouldn't be good.
Why do you think Denver goes to shambles 2 months at a time when I go to Canada?
I'd never thought about it before, but I'm thinking about
wrong.
It now.
He's not wrong.
Thinking about that right now.
The most believable thing is Andre like getting mad at someone and saying those things.
Do you know who I am? Yeah. I'm going to try to say that I'm a community pillar to see if that helps. Like, You can't take me down or else the community will collapse.
Yeah,
I'm the blood of the city. No one's ever said
exactly
that before.
The blood of the city. That's a great line.
This okay. is just how I'm trying to stay employed.
So
I'm a community pillar.
There you go.
That's a good one.
So obviously the other night, Nazem Kadri with truly one of the most transcendent playoff performances that I've seen. And I use that word transcendent because it was obviously incredible on the ice. But it went beyond that, too, with everything right. that he was dealing with. And so forget the Avs loss last night. Like, right after that game, it was, okay, let's talk about that and some of the other great playoff performances in history. And I think what makes the Kadri performance so unique is that it was all the outside stuff that was leaning up against it. And when you go through these and you start looking at them, it's like, okay, well, that was in a really big game and it was an incredible performance. Yeah. And, you know, I think the Jamal Murray stuff is the one that's comparable to this because of, you know, just what was going on in the world at the time. But even that is a little bit different just because all of this was directly at
it was
Kadri.
About Nazem Kadri.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because the if we're being honest about it, the incident with Jordan Binnington, the run-in, that play, the controversial play that kind of kicked everything off, if it's not Nazem Kadri involved in it, the city of St. Louis does not react the way that it did.
Yeah, 100%.
No.
If it's I've said to multiple people, if it's JT Compher that's involved in that play, there isn't suddenly a run on, you know, people aren't freaking out about gingers the next day. They're not talking about it.
Yep.
They're just moving on with their lives. Like, I can't believe he got hurt. And, of course, you're always going to have, like, he did it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Ryan Johansson got his stick stuck in Kemper's mask, there were idiots out there who were like, this was super intentional.
I didn't say that. I said once his stick got in there, I felt like he didn't make as much of an effort to get it out of there.
He didn't even know it was in there, man.
Upon further review, also hearing his quotes about it, I think I was wrong and you're right. But you're right. Like,
there's always going to be those people, but this whole thing started, all the fireworks really started because it was Kadri specifically.
Yep. Yeah.
His playoff history,
yep.
Everything else that, everything kind of combined to make it controversial because it was him.
Yep.
You know,
well, and the coach's quote that kind of sparks
and
it.
And that's
is,
what I was going to say is I feel like
reputation.
The Blues falsely used this as a rallying cry, a rallying point. And maybe they didn't realize what that was going to result in.
Yep.
But
well, they absolutely didn't.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they certainly would not have done that.
No, I don't mean what he was going to do. I mean like what their hindsight. Fans were going to do by riling them up in that way. Like, Berube knew exactly what he was doing by pulling the reputation bullshit. And the other players knew what they were doing, too. It's like they were trying to conjure up some sort of thing that they could that would motivate them. They didn't realize what it was going to do for Kadri.
It's always easier to have an axe to grind in the postseason. Yeah. The best of seven and blah, blah, blah.
Well, and there's also especially no immediate reaction. Thing. Like, after the hit happens, they play two periods of hockey. Right. The Blues do
like
nothing about it.
There was no penalty called. Nobody did anything.
Right. It's that they lose the game, so then they need something to ramp them back up.
And then it was like, he's a piece of shit.
Right.
It was like, you guys had two. It was like 6 minutes into the first period. You had almost the whole game.
Exactly.
To do something about it, and you guys sat around. And played a hockey game. You guys managed to just play a hockey game. And then you lose, and you're bitter, and you're mad. And then the news comes out that he's actually hurt.
Right.
And won't be that around for the rest of the series. He throws the water bottle at Naz during the post-game interview, which people seem split between that's hilarious and what?
I mean, it just shows how soft he is.
It's
a pattern with him flinging his stick in Kadri's face from like 6 feet away.
Well, and this is like the super tough guy goalie who always tries to get into fights with people when there are dudes in between.
Yeah.
And then when he had, because like he earlier in the series, he even skated over at an Av and was like
talking.
Yeah. Was like, oh, do you want to? Because when Nichushkin ran into him. in game two that put them on a 5-on-3. He skated over to the blue line and was like getting tough with them, and it was like,
yeah,
yeah. There's nothing less tough than going at someone when you're essentially wearing a suit of armor,
right?
Like, you're every part of you is covered. You're like, what? What's
and,
up?
It's
like,
and knowing that in no way is anybody in that building going to let you fight that guy. Yes. Even if that, because if that guy goes over and skates over and fights Jordan Binnington, like, he could just be like, he attacked me.
Right.
Yeah, total nonsense. Starts a riot. Absolutely nonsense. It's like guys that get in fist fights in the NFL when they're both wearing helmets.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, at least those dudes start throwing them. Jordan Binnington has yet to actually do that. Right. He does everything right up to the line of actually getting into it with somebody. He's the ultimate hold me back bro guy. Yeah,
for sure. Also, I didn't realize how much I hated him. Like, when you see goalies, you don't even know what they look like. Then when they showed him in the box, I was like, oh, wow, really punchable face.
Yeah.
And like, I want to fight you right now. Oh,
looks
also,
like, looks like a Minecraft character.
Was it at all discussed that, like, it looks like they might have been doing some sketchy shit up in that suite?
What?
No.
That was,
did
like,
you,
my
did you guys hit that on the watch
like
along?
Like, sketching the game?
Like, I saw him, like, look down at his hands a little bit. I was like, what's he got in those hands?
Probably like a corn dog.
You're I'm
like,
not
what's
throwing
happening?
Accusations. I'm just saying. I was curious if anyone else was like, what are they doing?
Can you imagine
in there?
That your goalie goes out and then he's pictured in the building, just like popping quaaludes?
That's what I
kind of wish RK had made this the surprise topic of this TDSP. Like, we had prepared another topic, and then we came on here and now started breaking down sketchy footage.
Zapruder
like
film. I just learned what that is.
What else is there in Denver sports right now than what Jordan Binnington was doing in the business? I'm with you on this, by the way. We have no evidence, but I'm sure it was something illegal, positive.
100%. Okay. One thing we haven't even gotten into the actual performance from Kadri yet. So, AJ,
us through it. Like, they needed something, right? You're in game four, and you're up 2-1, and everybody,
down 1-0.
Everybody is like, you know, every time he touches the puck, he's getting booed. It's been a whole thing. He spent the last 48 hours getting death threats, and people inundated. Like, people weren't even messaging his Instagram; they were messaging his cat. The cat Instagram that his wife has set up for him, like,
and their foundation.
Idiots.
Like,
yeah,
are you kidding me with this? And like, she puts them all on blast eventually.
By the way, normalize that.
Yeah.
Normalize screenshotting.
Yes.
Idiots.
Yes.
Racist bigots in your DMs and posting their 100%. Whole ass account on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. There was a Blues fan that's been sending me things that Z wants me to post and put that guy on blast, and I just won't do it.
We're not going to normalize. I thought we just said we were going
to normalize. Yeah, we just agreed to normalize.
I'm all about. I'm not going to.
Whatever.
Yeah, we
AJ,
won't get into that.
It's a personal choice, but I
Thank
say normal.
You.
Like, athletes. Just put these people on blast. They deserve to, like,
get Is there
fired.
Anything that looks worse than the guy who with his face? Like, you're looking at all of the screenshots, message. There's a guy with his face that he has sent to the Nazem Kadri. You know what I'm talking? It's like,
oh,
I
yeah.
That was
just
video.
Stands out. You're like, bro, what is wrong?
Anyways, back to the game.
Yeah, so he's been getting all this stuff. The police presence is increased at the team hotel. It's hanging outside of his room. They can't go anywhere. Like, they get to the building and the police are like escorting the team into it. And because he was inundated with so many, it wasn't just the 5 screenshots that Ashley released, like, ridiculous. Right. Yeah. So he's been going through an emotional ringer, gets onto the ice, which any athlete will ever tell you, like, that's okay. That's the reprieve from all the nonsense. Right. Now I can just play a game. I can just play and whatever. And it brings out the very, very, very best in him. He has a 4-point night. He has a hat trick, including the absolute dagger in the third period that makes it 5-3. Where it's
Shout
like,
out,
oh man, they are about to go up
3-1.
Or no,
that was the short side one.
Yeah. They are about to go up 3-1 in the series and sweep in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And it's Kadri. Oh. Like, it's the. Everybody lost their mind about, oh, he's a scumbag and he's this and that. And, like, his character has been like publicly dissected for 48 hours. His family came under fire. He came under fire, but you know, a combination of Islamophobia and racism and death threats, all wrapped up into one neat little bundle here. And goes out and drops a hat trick on that team in that city, in front of all those fans that hate him that much, in front of a head coach that threw him under the bus, and then when given an opportunity to just say racism is bad, said no comment, I'm not interested in it, who then walked that back and said, oh, we were aware of threats, but we didn't know it was racism.
Which, like, okay, so threats were cool?
Yeah, so he was cool with the death threats to Nas.
I know, that one.
But the racism was too far. Rich, coming from a guy who was suspended during his playing career for on-ice racism.
Yep.
Cool.
Screw that guy.
So it was the ultimate middle finger. It was the ultimate, like, this was way bigger than hockey. And in, like, the annals of Denver sports history, this singular performance, a game four in round two, certainly a night that we're all going to remember. But had it just been, again, had JT Confer had that hat trick, we would be like, wow, awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was the combination of everything that happened that made it such a special night.
And I think Kadri's reputation does make that a little more special.
It does,
right?
Yeah.
Because everything you said, I mean, you know, you framed it perfectly. That would be enough for a human to have to handle and overcome.
Yeah.
On top of this, this guy's dealing with a career reputation of kind of getting him in massive trouble in the biggest moments when his team needs him the most. And when he's really going to be able to play his style of hockey the most, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of the tragedy of Kadri's career thus far is that when he's able to be that badass, that pain in the ass, he hasn't really been on the ice because some horrible things happened that's got him suspended.
He's made horrible decisions and he paid prices for those. And this was a person being inundated with the worst of humanity and having it bring out the best in him.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't speak to a person's character,
oh, I know.
I don't know what else possibly could.
Yeah.
That they threw the kitchen sink of ugliness at him and he rose above all, and it brought out the very, very best in him, both on the ice and then after the game, where, you know, for those who hate, that was for them.
I'm a big believer in, like, personal growth, and the thing that kind of hurt or upset me the most about this whole thing is I truly feel like I've seen and witnessed Nazem Kadri's personal growth from his mistakes, and especially this year, it feels like he's come so far and realized, like, I have to change. I cannot keep making these mistakes. And I truly believe him when he says that. And I'm sure he said stuff like that before. But this year it felt really real. And, like, you read the Players Tribune piece, which was obviously so touching. And you're like, this guy really is trying to change. So for this completely accidental thing to happen with absolutely no intent to result in this was, like, that is what sucked so much. It's because I just know, like, he probably had a hard time sleeping that night just thinking, like, what if they do suspend me? You know, like, he knew that he didn't, but, like, that whole thing, and then on top of that, he's getting all this shit, and I thought him going and scoring that hat trick, and not only the "for those who hate" comment, but him having, like, the maturity to point out, I know it's not everyone in St. Louis, like, he was just so on his game in that moment, and
that whole game,
like, that was, that even further defined the personal growth of Kadri this year, and so I think in the end, like, it's part of a cool story, but it also diminishes how disgusting what he had to deal with is to, like, make it just, like, a cool story.
Well, and, like, we sort of treat it as, like, this obstacle to get through.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like, oh, well, he scored a hat trick, so, hey, guess what? Racism is over.
We did it, guys.
Yeah, like, it's, you know, it's not an it's not like an obstacle you get through.
Right.
You know, one of the perspectives that kind of dominated over the course of the couple of days was that it wasn't it was like, it doesn't just end.
Yep.
It's not like all of a sudden he's never going to get another death threat.
He probably got more that
mark
night
or yeah. whatever. It's but we treat it as like this like triumphant moment. Like,
he scored the hat trick.
Look, it was great. And in yeah. that moment, that response, that it was awesome. It was a memorable night, but it was really just the tip of the iceberg of he's been dealing with this his entire life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's been going through this, and he's been fighting uphill against, you know, just his combination of his heritage and who he is, and his skin color, and you're talking about a dude that just has beaten those odds consistently in his career.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah. it all sort of culminated in that one night, and we all got a great moment out of it, a great night, a great night to remember
yep.
from it.
And for me, because it's so unique in its nature, I think it's absolutely one that we'll remember forever.
Yeah. This isn't just a great playoff performance. This was a great personal
yeah.
performance. This was man against so many different elements.
Yes.
I mean, the goal after the power play, after he's viciously like... and just like cowardly attack.
Yeah, terrible.
Was just amazing.
It was so
great.
Like, just fired up as so real in that moment.
Who was it? I mean, it felt great when he scored the first goal. You're like, oh.
I know.
He goes flying down the wing and he scores the short side. And now that all of a sudden the game is taking this big turn and they're up 2-1, and you're like, oh my gosh, what? Wow, this is crazy. And then it just gets better and better and better.
Yeah.
The only way it would have been better is had the defenseman, I think it was Perunovic, not stopped his empty net attempt.
I know.
That
four.
It would have been, a four-goal game.
Yeah.
Dude, and the other thing was, like, his reaction after the goals was, like, how he's just like, ooh.
Yeah. Dude, the ear cup.
Oh, so it was, like.
It's iconic.
It was so beautiful. Man. Like, I, at home, watching, I was like.
I at first thought he was doing the ear cup. Upon further review, another, diving into the...
Zapruder film, let's go.
The Zapruder film. I think he was actually going like this, like, I'm in your head.
Yeah.
I think he did both.
Okay, well, hell yeah.
Because more of that. He absolutely ear-cupped, and it was...
Oh, so epic.
So great.
Like, he wanted to be the villain, he played the villain. They were like, look, he was like, all right, if I'm the bad guy, I'm the bad guy, and I'm going to be the one to do this to you.
Yep.
And it ruled.
And just to add on to that moment and how I'll remember it is the way that Avs fans responded last night. Like, the picture's up on the screen.
Yeah.
That was so special. And I tweeted it out today. Like, I take, like, immense pride in the way that our city is viewed. Just as, like, a sports city. As a city, and just the way that the people are here. And the people who got there early... brought those signs, stood there, cheered his name, all that stuff, represented all of us so well. And for that, I'm super thankful. And that's part of the memory
and
for
his
me.
His reaction during warm-ups, where he was like, yeah.
He's like, I see you guys.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think there's a hockey take in here somewhere that I don't even know if this is the place for it, but like, he's a free agent, like.
I talked about this after the show. I said, if you were going to try and build that bridge and say, you should come back in free agency. You should take less money to be here. It would start with how well he was supported during this whole incident. Not just by the fans, but the organization went to bat for him. The teammates went to bat for him.
Yep.
Unprompted, Eric Johnson was like, that's our guy.
And that's not the reason why anyone did that. But if it ends up but if it ends up being a reason why he says like, man, I love Denver. Like, right. I love these people. I want to stay here. That's like, pretty awesome. It means we did something right.
It's like when you get married and you're building your like list of your boys that you're going to have be there, right? Like, you're like, look, these guys did all these things for me. And it wasn't because they wanted to be
my best man.
Exactly. Yeah. They did it because they did it for the right reasons.
Right.
And that's why they're there.
Yep.
And that's the relationship building. You do things for the right reasons. And... you reap the rewards of a mutually beneficial relationship.
Absolutely.
A positive relationship.
Yep.
And right now, Nazem Kadri and the Avalanche are in as good a place as they've ever been. With each other.
Right.
Please, I know that there's going to be somebody that watches this and is like, oh, yeah, after last night, they're in a great place.
Yeah, well, I still think they are in a great place.
They are in a great place.
No doubt. Speaking
of great relationships, we have a great relationship with Ivaka TV.
Oh, yeah. Boy, do we.
Watch the apps.
Yeah,
watch our show immediately after. That's on the exactly right. Channel.
People could be watching on Ivaka right now.
People might be watching this on Ivaka right now. Yeah, oh, as I say,
they definitely are.
On the Broncos podcast, if you or anyone you know has been affected by billionaire greed, keeping you from being able to watch your favorite teams, do we have the solution for you? It's Ivaka TV, where you cannot just watch the Avs. You cannot just watch the Nuggets. You cannot only watch the Colorado Rockies. You can watch DNVR on there, and the best part about that is they're all right next to each other in the channel lineup.
Yeah,
that hypes me up. You know, like ESPN, ESPN2, right next to each other.
That's great.
Altitude, DNVR.
That's freaking good.
We're ESPN News, you know, yeah. Right there.
ESPN Classic.
A Mammoth, Rapids. Don't forget those guys.
Of course.
So okay.
Check out Ivaka TV. It's actually a really great product, and it's cheap. $25 a month. Jesus. Plus $10 for your receiver. But when you use the code DNVR and you go to ivaka.tv/DNVR, you get $10 off your first 3 months, so you won't even have to worry about that receiver. It's an awesome deal. So check out our friends over at Ivaka, and also check out our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Ever heard of them, Andre?
The best sportsbook in all the land. New users right now. Get in $5 on an NBA money line. Get $1.50. Pretty sweet.
And you don't even have to win your bet.
Thank God for that.
Giving out participation trophies.
Let's go.
Yeah, especially with how these NBA games are going. You know, if you blew it by quarter one and you know it already, it doesn't matter. DraftKings
will hook you up. None of the NBA games are even entertaining anymore. Nope. So just bet your money. Don't even watch and get $150.
It's outstanding stuff. Do you have a Conn Smythe favorite for us, AJ, on DraftKings Sportsbook?
Yeah, I mean,
is it Vasilevsky at +600?
Get out of here.
Boo.
How's he going to win Conn Smythe from his couch?
Yeah, AJ.
Question. It's a great question.
First ever.
That would be amazing.
More like the couch Smythe trophy.
Nailed it.
Thanks.
Got him.
How about Connor McDefense?
Oh.
Kale McCarr. That's my pick.
Well, it would help if he would score a goal.
It would help.
I've been missing him scoring
goals.
He scored
a goal in the series.
Not in this series.
I know.
But how many points does he have in the playoffs?
Well,
he came into this series with 10.
Yeah, and I think he's had 2 assists in the series.
Yep,
maybe
so
3.
That's 12, baby.
That is still a lot.
That's a lot.
It's
they could call that the Connor McDavid Award in 50 years, the playoff MVP who never made it to the finals. That could be the Connor McDavid Award.
Yeah, could be the Kale McCarr Award.
Do you think
hey, how dare you?
Unbelievable.
How?
I thought you liked
me. Who is this man?
What kind of community pillar are you?
Get him off the show.
The community's in great peril.
Where's my friend and what have you done with him? Yeah, for real. It's happened already. Jeez.
Okay, anyways. DraftKings Sportsbook.
Bossy would be a good one. Yeah.
There you go. I told you. If you want an emotional hedge, that's the one.
Yeah.
DraftKings Sportsbook, where you can also get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when you use the code DNVR. At sign-up, of course, must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Bonus comprised of first deposit bonus, first bet match. Each for $500 deposit bonus comprised of 20 bucks. Play through restrictions to apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right. We talked about Kadri, but we got to talk about some of the other ones. And maybe it'll give us an idea of where it kind of ranks. I don't really want to rank anything just because I think all of these exist on their own, and especially the Kadri one is so different from anything else. But I think it's a great opportunity to relive some of the best playoff moments in history. So, Eric, I'll start with you. Let's go through some of these Nuggets ones.
Oh, my God. So
end of list.
Wow.
Kind of is. It's not a great list.
So you just bury the Avs, you just bury the Nuggets. Who's safe on this panel? As
what
far as
community
you're
do you represent? You know,
which pillar are you looking to prop up?
I tell you what, I'm with all the doomers today.
Ugh, dude, you are doom and or gloom.
We rising up. It's our time. You're, 2012 is here, baby.
Does everyone realize that?
Man,
I hate to be the one to tell you this. Hockey very unpredictable.
Is it?
Avs are up.
Shit.
They are up in the series. They played dominant to the point where. The Blues are so unbelievably fortunate for this still to be happening. They're gonna get dominated.
I tweeted out last night, Avs are gonna be fine, and someone's like, "That's what I said after Game 5 against Vegas." I'm like,
"Wasn't?"
But they were
thing.
Down 3-2
and also
after
Vegas,
Game 5 against Vegas.
Right, a little ambitious there.
Yes, and at no point did the Blues look like they were
like
out physically.
I was wrong in the past, therefore
I'm wrong forevermore.
A different person will be wrong in a different situation. In a different setting.
Now we're getting you back.
Like, road teams are 4-1 in this
series. The past
series,
does not impact this series.
No.
Past results do not predict future results.
I mean, it's the best predictor of future results is past, but yes.
He's not in sports.
Or in, you're not wrong. Anywho.
Not in my current narrative that I will not let go of.
All right.
The Nuggets had the greatest cluster of amazing playoff performances in the bubble.
Yeah,
that's true.
Some will tell you that the bubble should not be counted amongst other playoff runs because of the unique circumstances that all the players found themselves under. I myself maintain and I argue that there is a psychological element in those playoffs that will never be experienced again, in that all of the NBA was imprisoned at Disneyland and they couldn't. They weren't able.
God, that sounds like a 90s comedy.
I'm telling you,
I'm amazed the Wayans brothers didn't do that.
Listen,
15 years ago,
we watched the erosion of the psyche of Paul George throughout the playoffs. Mm.
Don't we do that every year?
Not like this. I'm telling you, like, there's a you see, like, documentaries about the Stanford prison experiment and how, when put in certain situations, like, human beings change, and there's just psychological pressure that you're not typically under. I mean, people will tell you, like, the purists, like George Karl, for example, will tell you going and having to play in front of opposing fan bases, there's nothing more intimidating. It causes,
tell that to Nazem Kadri.
Tell it to Nazem Kadri. Yeah. The point being, these playoffs this year in the NBA are so atrociously terrible.
That's going to say, play them in the bubble every year if
we
can avoid
this NBA shit. In the bubble every year. We saw nothing but iconic performances,
like,
night after
dope
night
shot
after
making
night.
And
the Denver
it was
Nuggets.
All basketball, baby.
All basketball. Incredible. All basketball nonsense. And water slides, as I recall, from seeing on Instagram.
And Mickey Mouse.
And Mickey Mouse. And and complaining about, like, the food that you were served, which is much better than,
like,
food
some
that
of
was
the, some of the great, like, NBA vlogs of all time.
Oh, the top vlog material.
Yeah.
It's amazing we're actually talking about a real moment in history, and this isn't like some bit we're doing right now.
Well, he's talking about them being imprisoned in Disneyland, and I'm like trying to think, like, what was it like for the NHL players imprisoned in that hotel in
much
Edmonton?
Worse. Much worse. Yes, like, at least the NBA players were imprisoned in a place that was meant to bring joy.
Yeah.
Even if it was bringing psychological horror.
In between games, they're all like hanging out. Yeah. It's like,
taking picture of
the
Donovan
Balkan
Mitchell.
Boys.
Yes.
Spida running into.
They're at the pool.
Jamal.
Coach Malone's in the bucket hat.
All the same, like, we'll just never see anything like it again. But it presented us with incredible, iconic moments. Not only because of where we were in the world, in that we were all also imprisoned at home, looking for absolutely anything. We were here. We were getting COVID. But we were like all looking for anything, any shred of normalcy, anything to, like, remind us that the world that we once knew was still existing and we could return to it at some point. But then piled on top of that, there was unbelievable civil unrest, which seems improbable if you think back. If we were all trapped in our houses, how were we also all out rioting? I don't know how we did this. But there was just a confluence of events that made what Jamal Murray did in that bubble run just, like, so unbelievable and just, like, will never be matched again. Just from a statistical standpoint, he literally performed better than prime Michael Jordan. He had 2 50-point games within two games of each other. Yeah. The Nuggets turned in one of the least inspiring performances I've ever seen in my entire life in Game 3 against the Jazz. I was ready to disavow the team.
I've never seen anything like.
I was ready.
The
we were
Nuggets guys after
we were
that
sitting,
game.
We were sitting here like, do we have to talk about a trade package for Jokic? Like, what are we doing? What is this?
Like, the one I remember is like Jamal Murray for Ben Simmons or something.
Dude, we were like Jamal Murray for Patrick Beverley. Jamal Murray for open space on the bench. Like, we got so decimated in Game 3. Rudy Gobert absolutely just owned Nikola Jokic. And then a switch just flipped. And from that point forward, Jamal Murray was so locked in. He was hit, like, if you actually look at the stats during that time, like, he was hitting his three-point shot at around 50%, which is unheard of, especially in a, I mean,
in the playoffs.
It's funny to say the playoff, because I do agree with George Karl in that the fact that you don't have people screaming at you, like, allows you to focus more, and you're not as apt to miss shots because you're not nervous in the same way. All the same, like, you're still playing against the top.
No respect for the people on the Zoom calls on the TV screen.
Did any of you do that, by the way?
I was never invited to.
I knew somebody that did it, and they were like, I was on a Zoom call with Charles Barkley. It was awesome.
This is like Katie Wingy.
Totally, totally. But I mean, so they somehow get through the Jazz series where he and Donovan Mitchell are just trading blows like we've never seen before.
Yeah,
Donovan Mitchell scoring 60 points. Jamal Murray scoring 50 points in multiple games back to back. They were just and Jamal Murray scoring in like those 360 layups, highlight after highlight after highlight, like things that will never be forgotten in Nuggets lore. And then to go into, to overcome the goddamn Jazz in the most heroic fashion, almost lose it. The ball is 1 inch from going in and from Mike Conley. They almost win the series. So we're on a razor's edge, make it to the next round, immediately go down 1-3 again.
Yeah.
Immediately go back down 1-3, and we're like, whatever. I mean, like, that was cool. Round one was cool.
We were
cool.
Kind of, like, jokingly being like, well, they did it once. Totally.
We were like, whatever. And then somehow they did
Nuggets activated.
Somehow they did it again. Just absolutely the exact same switch. Flipped it. I don't know why they turned it off after the first round. They turned it back on.
Right. They should have just kept it on.
Jamal Murray scores 40 points. He scores 50 points. It's like he...
Well, in all these games, too...
It's unreal.
Even it's not like they went down 1-3 and then just started mowing teams down. Like, they went down 1-3 and then every other game they were down 10 at some point. Yeah. Like, and then they were like, all right, fine, let's see if we can, you know, like,
that bubble run. I am bulletproof at this point. Nothing can bother me ever. Like, I went through insane. The full gauntlet of human emotion. I was the lowest I've ever been
after the Jets.
The highest I've ever been. The mediumest I've ever been, all in a row. And we just, like, the elation that I felt when they beat the Clip. When they beat the Jazz, I felt relief. When they beat the Clippers, I felt elation.
Yeah.
And then
it also helped that they'd done so much shit talking when they were up 3-1.
Oh, the Clippers.
Go
and it's
home.
And it's always easy to be big when you're ahead.
It's always a Morris tweet.
Yeah, the
joke
more
around and find out, my friends.
The more I always the get more themselves I,
the
in
more
trouble.
The more I of the story is, don't mess around with the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic. But the most probably iconic moment, which didn't actually come after the best game, was Jamal Murray's interview after game 5, or was it 6?
Chills, man.
I think this was at the height of the Breonna Taylor. Unfortunately, there's like that portion in time is like divided into two different weeks when it was a different person we were outraged about. And he was just so overcome with emotion. He had those sneakers on that were hand painted. And then after giving an interview where he was so emotionally raw and he was holding back tears, then pictured in the ramp leading out to the locker room, just like overcome by emotion, leaning down.
The last thing for me in that moment is how drained you can just see he is.
Yeah,
he's physically drained because he just left everything on the court. He's emotionally drained because of everything that's going on. And meanwhile, he's got a camera and a microphone in his face talking to the world.
Yes.
And you can just see how hard it is for him to, like, conjure up, you know, the words that describe how he's feeling. And, like, that was so powerful in that moment. It was just watching Jamal be like, I'm just leaving everything out there. Like, he could barely think, barely speak. He was so overcome with emotion. And, of course, there's the picture of him afterwards, which...
Unbelievable. What, I mean,
goosebumps
with
every
freedom
time.
Yeah, right there too.
With the freedom.
I mean, like, truly.
I have that sticker on,
truly
on my water bottle.
A moment that will never be forgotten. I mean, this is as far as the imagery that represents the Denver Nuggets, it's Dikembe Mutombo holding up the basketball, and it's Jamal Murray kneeling on the ramp outside of that game. And so, I mean, really, like, at the end of the day, like, the greatest playoff performance was this entire run. by Jamal Murray. He just turned in performances like we'll literally never see again.
Yep.
One after the next.
Perfectly said. Any other ones that you want? You feel like deserve a moment?
I mean,
moment
Carmelo
in the sun?
Anthony had great playoff moments in the
more
the
buzzer beater
sense.
Against the Mavericks, but the that's Mavericks, more of like a moment three. Playoff moment rather than a playoff performance.
Yeah, Nikola Jokic, you know, has
every game.
That's just it. The thing
Jokic
about
against
yeah.
Lillard,
yes,
in the game where Lillard oh, just yeah. would not let Portland die,
and yeah, yes, and
a lot of
Austin
them are
Rivers
losses.
Looks at the sky Jokic's like thank God games, when he yeah. finally misses yeah. one shot. But the thing about Nikola Jokic is he's just like a Panzer tank. He just rolls like he's just so dominant yeah. Yeah. every game yeah. that it's unfair to him, but it's like hard to have like he has one game where he scored I think 43 points against the Spurs in the playoff performance before the bubble, and that was like. Ridiculous, but they lost.
All his right. best playoff performances, the... statistically, they lose. Typically.
Yes, and also
55 minutes.
Yes, against Portland, the triple right. overtime where Jokic played all but like
right.
5
right.
minutes in a oh my gosh. An hour long game.
He broke the stat counter on NBA.com because it was not yes, programmed for yes. it to go to the numbers he played.
Yes, and all
so
in the
face
of...
So it said he played like 6 minutes or something?
Right, but like 60. All in the face of everyone telling him that he's a fat guy from Serbia. That yeah. Like yeah. That's who we're talking about. Like this is a guy that's just completely unaffected by everything, just goes about his business.
Even people in Denver were calling him out of shape still at that point.
Right, and you're like, bro... what are you talking about? Like, no other NBA player has logged these kind of minutes ever.
Yeah.
Insane. Yep.
That's the one that kind of sticks out to me. And, of course, the Nuggets lost that one, so it doesn't really count.
That's just it.
But, I mean, truly with him, it's like we talked about a David Thompson game.
Yep.
where he had 37-6-6 to, like, win in Game 7, send the Nuggets to the Western Conference Finals.
76.
And it's like, oh, so he just had, like, a standard Jokic game?
Like, oh, game three. Cool.
Yeah, like that's it's kind of hard to like conceptualize. He basically steps on the floor and gives you 30-10-10-ish every time he goes out there in a playoff
yeah,
game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and in the playoffs, it might be more 30-15-10.
Yeah, his
that's
his
true. Yeah,
10
is
yeah.
10 is short shorting him. So, all right. Want to talk a little Broncos here? Or should we? And then we'll finish with some of the other Avs ones.
Sure. Obviously, you have the drive, which statistically isn't going to be much. So
again,
much like
kind of
the MVP. Yeah.
The moment. But,
it's a moment.
But
not
it's an extended moment. It's not just like one throw, you know, like Tebow to DT
drive.
Is definitely a moment.
Yeah.
But that's like a whole drive, but it still, I think, goes closer to the moment side of things.
Terrell Davis, obviously, Super Bowl 32 is way up there. And I think one of the more comparable to some like the Kadri moment, the Jamal Murray moment. It's not social injustice or racism or death threats. He's dealing, though, in the biggest game of his career with a massive migraine. He has to be on the field while he can barely see as a decoy. And he still breaks, I mean, all sorts of records. The three touchdowns is the one that – rushing touchdowns is the one that still stands. But 157 rushing yards on 30 carries against the defensive front that everyone and their mother said there was no way the Broncos could run on.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean.
Go back and watch that Super Bowl. It's the first thing they talk about.
It's glorious.
When
it's
the Broncos offense gets on the field is the size of their offensive line against Gilbert Brown and the defensive line.
Oh, and Gilbert Brown's on the sidelines sucking air by the time TD's done with him. So that's an all-timer.
Underrated performance, Denver's running backs in the revenge game against Jacksonville to start that playoff run because they had just what had happened in Denver the year before with the Jags. And, you know, Brunell and McCardle and Means and those guys.
Yeah.
And then the next year they come back and then they get that punt block and they go and you know, he blocks the punt and it sticks in his arm and he just runs into the end zone and you're like, oh, not my again. God, this is happening again.
Right.
This is good. What is with the Jags in Denver? And then they literally run over them where... Terrell Davis has 100 yards rushing.
He had what,
188?
Yeah.
And then Derek LaVille comes in and has 100 yards rushing.
Yep.
And then they took him out because he had a couple of touchdowns. Right. And then Von Hebron comes in and has like 80 yards of his own.
Oh my God.
On like 7 carries or whatever.
Yeah, incredible.
And they literally ran the Jags out of Denver yeah. and out of relevance for the next 15 years.
It yeah, actually no goes kidding. To, it's really true.
20.
it actually goes to a something I was saying today about the Broncos, you know, new scheme and how it, if the offensive line is working right in that scheme, it doesn't matter who you put back there. And obviously, you know, you talk about that game, but like, they were just mowing them down.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, put anyone back there. They're going to run free.
Well, literally, they take TD out because they're like, well, this is done. And then Derek LaVille, they're like, well, yeah. we're going to take Derek LaVille out now because yeah. he has down. A couple of touchdowns and 130 yards rushing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Von Hebron's like, all right, my turn. And like, what? Von
yeah.
Hebron?
Yeah.
Yeah, insane. He also, his highest, that's the second highest most rushing yards in playoff career history. The other one's game one against Miami the next year.
The 31-3 yeah, at home.
Lights yeah. him up, 199 yards.
Oh, get him the one more yard. What are we doing here?
TD in the playoffs is.
TD in the playoffs, and that's
TD
why,
in the playoffs is why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Probably the best God. Playoff running back of all time.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, one of the greatest playoff like, performances. Girl, in
there
in,
was no better.
Yeah. 100%.
I mean, one of the Barry greatest Sanders playoff wishes. Performances.
He does wish.
The Lions have been in the playoffs?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, for real.
And then Smith wishes, too.
Oh,
Vaughn's Super Bowl 50 is way up there.
Okay, and so that's what I was going to go to next is Vaughn. And Vaughn, you can almost just go with the whole playoffs as his performance, right? Yeah. Like, they go through...
Similar to Terrell.
Roethlisberger, Brady... And Cam Newton, by the
MVP
way,
the Cam
MVP, I believe unanimous MVP that year, Cam Newton.
Jokic was robbed.
And Vaughn was just on a tear that whole playoffs. And it's so cool because all these people that we're talking about, Kadri we haven't quite seen it yet from, but like there's certain people that have an extra level they can go to in the playoffs. Yeah, yeah. Jamal is absolutely one of them. Of course Jokic. TD obviously turned it up a notch in the playoffs.
Elway for sure.
And Vaughn, though we sadly didn't get to see that much of it, obviously he's injured during the 2013 run. They have the 2015 run and then never make the playoffs again with Vaughn. But like we saw it. Like he went to the next level.
Yeah.
And obviously it culminates with Super Bowl 50, two strip sacks in the game. And he would like... It was unreal watching that defense led by him, the way they were disrupting two Hall of Fame quarterbacks and a MVP that season in Cam Newton throughout that entire run. And Vaughn was just unstoppable, straight up unstoppable.
Yeah. Well, in the AFC Championships way up there, you could talk about Vaughn that year. You could talk about DeMarcus Ware.
Oh my God.
Obviously, the whole team performance is above all else, so you almost can't talk about an individual's, but... That's like, if I'm down and I need like 30 plays to go to, that's what I go to.
Well, and I miss that so much. Like watching a game with Von Miller on the field when it gets down to the point where like the other team is in desperation mode. You know they have to throw a pass, and you're like, it's Von Miller time, baby.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a sack. Yeah. I know there's a sack coming, and there always would be.
I want to give a special shout out to Steve Atwater in Super Bowl 32
because
I've always said that if he doesn't drop that interception, he has just as good a case as for Super Bowl MVP as TD did.
Yep,
because
insane.
He was wrecking a menace in that game, a one man menace in a defensive backfield that wasn't very good
against a potent passing offense
and
that
like,
needed every play from Steve.
Like it started with him. Trying to kill Antonio Freeman on the opening touchdown, and Freeman does a great job of holding on, and then it just ramped up. Like, the violence ramped up from there, from Atwater, because he was... Well, I mean, it got to the point where at the end of the game, he knocks out himself, he knocks out Randy
Braxton,
Hilliard,
right?
And Robert
Tyrone
Brooks.
Yeah.
all three of them in one play go down on that... I think it was the third down before the fourth down play that ended the game, and like he has a forced fumble because he had another sack. Like he was an absolute holy terror.
Love that.
And that was the one thing like I didn't remember watching it as a kid, but when I went back and watched it live, I was like, holy crap, dude.
You talk about
Steve Atwater wrecked this game.
Yeah. You talk about making your presence felt.
Yeah.
Especially against a passing offense like that, where like you need them to feel
against
to
the back to back MVP in Brett Favre, mind you.
It's just kind of sad. It probably would have been funny like 10 years ago, but now it's sad. Steve told me like he knocked himself out. You know, it's like two. There's one play I think after that. The next, like that was third down. There was a fourth down. He's like, I didn't even know. Like when we won the Super Bowl, I didn't even react because I didn't even know like what time it was. What, like where we were in the game. I just saw everyone start jumping around, and I was like, we won.
That's so scary, though.
And that's what I'm saying. Like it's.
Well, and you go back and you watch, and it's like scary. Very classic, like violent level of football, and that's what he did. I mean, that's who he was. Was. That's why he had shoulder problems at the end of his career. Is because he used it.
He used those shoulders.
He was a truck of a safety. And in that game, I don't think it ever got better for Steve Atwater than in that game in particular.
It's hilarious when you see Steve stand next to like Justin Simmons. You're like, those guys play the same position. Like
crazy. Man.
Like Steve. I always say I legitimately think if Steve Atwater was a product in today's football, he would be an edge rusher. Like, that's how big he was playing safety.
It's wild.
I mean, he is Hassan Reddick size.
Yes.
Who is an edge rusher in the modern NFL.
Anyway, go back and watch that game. And
yeah. The only other one we haven't mentioned is Elway Super Bowl 33, his final game. 336 passing yards, the long bomb to Ron Smith, which is the one touchdown he had. Thus throw pick, 18 to 29. They're just such elite performances we've got here with the Broncos, but that certainly belongs up there.
And Peyton put up 400 against the Patriots, which is dope, in the 2013 AFC Championship game, which would probably be remembered a lot more if it weren't for what happened a couple weeks later.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Champ against the Patriots, too. With the
That's
big, yeah, the 99-yard almost pick six.
Yeah.
I was there for that.
It was great in that game, though. Like, we talked about that play.
Yeah, right.
But that was the year that it was, you know, two-thirds of the earth is covered by water and the other third is covered by Champ Bailey.
Absolutely. Oh, well, I mean, they make a run to the AFC Championship. It's the only playoff. Yeah. It's the first playoff game Brady Belichick lose together.
Right. It was
it's a big deal.
It was the first, like, popping of their bubble.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They never recovered.
a lot of these for the Broncos came against the Patriots, which is kind of cool. Within the last 20 years, 25.
Which is why when people are like, everyone calls me like a Tom Brady hater or something like that. I'm like, I don't hate Tom Brady. The Broncos own Tom Brady.
You're like, what's the who cares?
It's like today on the Av show, we had people who were like, oh, you guys sound nervous about Jordan Binnington. Why?
Yeah.
That
was my point online. Like, why would the Avalanche feel compelled to take out Jordan Binnington? They've beat him so many times. Like, what?
That's the guy they swept last year?
Yeah. Like, exactly. What are we talking about? At that point, they had won 7 out of 8 attempts against the Blues in the playoffs. They're like, we got to get rid of this Binnington.
Yeah, well, he has a losing record in his career against them. All
right. We finished with the Avs. And I guess quickly a shout out to a couple Rockies ones. Obviously, the least
Rockies
depth
ones.
Of any of these. Kyle Freeland against the Cubs.
Yes,
was
end of list.
Epic. It was epic. So epic.
Yeah, baseball's kind of harder, right? Like it's more like causes NLDS 07.
Too many
holidays NLCS 07.
Too many. I mean, like Jeff Francis in Game 1 against the Phillies.
Yes.
Where he strikes out the side in the first inning, and you're like, and like Jeff Francis, not a strikeout guy.
No,
and that includes Jimmy Rollins and Ryan Howard.
8 Ks that day, and I mean, I swear Ryan Howard looked like he just like swung and missed every pitch Francis threw at him that day.
Yeah, well, he kept throwing him off speed. He was a year ahead of it. It was so funny.
Howard had like 50 homers and just like. Yeah. Couldn't get within a foot of what Francis was throwing.
He just couldn't handle that changeup.
Oh, God, that was so great.
He was off it.
Matt Holliday was awesome throughout the entire NLCS against the D-backs.
Yeah.
But game four, like to close it out, he has a bomb and I think a double on top of that, maybe something else.
Three ribbies that day, for sure.
Yep.
That was more like a body of work than like a game.
Totally.
That's deserved the thing, MVP. Right? Yeah.
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 I'm trying to think if there's any other Rockies ones we're missing.
There's a nice Kaz Matsui game three in the NLDS with a triple and one of only two RBIs on the game. You know, it's pretty like.
Yeah.
It's more like the Rockies' success was in the playoffs was more about moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like Jamie Carroll sack fly, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, right. Like, yeah, 100%.
Small ball stuff.
You know, Tony Walters of hitters with the game winning single in Chicago. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's, but that's, more those
he was probably like 1 for 5 or something in that game, or 1 for 6.
He was not even that.
Oh, because he came in.
He was their last bench player. Yeah.
Okay. And, you know,
yeah. The last guy before they had to start
no one was getting hits in that game.
That's like 0-0 going into the 10th.
Yeah.
And the one guy not on the list of Rockies. Great,
I mean, even the guys who
Nolan
played
Arenado.
In relief.
He actually did.
Houston Street, the
he actually did have a home run in the game in Arizona where they like were down big because John Gray got shelled to the high heavens. But they came all the way back, and Nolan did have a bomb in that.
You're right.
Yeah, okay, and then you give up a triple to Archie Bradley,
the
reliever.
Archie Bradley, yeah.
All right, let's finish with some Avs ones.
We have one Rapids one in the comments here.
Okay.
You can read it.
Well, I mean, lots of big Connor Casey, you know.
Dre, you want to talk us through this? Never forget the Mac Kenji destroying his ACL to score the goal that won the MLS Cup for the Rapids in 2010. I actually remember that game, but I didn't
Omar
know he
Cummings?
Destroyed his ACL.
No,
I knew
either.
That, but I don't remember the goal.
Yeah, I don't remember the goal either. I remember a lot of Omar Cummings doing magical stuff down the wing. And
Connor Casey
bowling goals in.
Yeah, I
just like intimidating the ball to go into the goal.
Man, as a new Pidsman, I need to know this. I don't know all these things. I need to be filled in so that I can be.
Well, we'll have plenty of TDSP Rapids.
I'd like to hear the full history right now, if you don't mind.
Well,
did I put you guys on the spot? Sorry.
We're focusing more on Big Four right now, actually.
Yeah, can we count 62-36 as a playoff game?
Yeah, exactly.
Chris Brown.
No,
okay.
You can't.
Let's finish with the Avs. There's actually a lot to pull from here.
What's the greatest Buffs playoff moment? Ishmael Rucker not getting caught the flag on the punt?
Bro.
All right, Avs, let's go.
Why are you going to come at me like that?
I don't know.
Remember when Ryan said he had to be off at 5?
I know.
I'm supposed to meet with Spencer, but I don't see him.
The Avs ones I actually kind of struggled with because, Patrick Waugh, game 6, 2001, in New Jersey. The Avs didn't play well that game. They did not deserve to win that game. Patrick Waugh just refused. He just outplayed Marty Brodeur and stole the Stanley Cup, basically.
Yeah.
And then the next game, you have a 2-goal game from Alex Tanguay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And in like
including
games,
the game
like
game
7,
seven.
Lore, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
You have a multi-goal game in a game 7 that your team wins. Like, you're a hero for the rest of your life.
I can close my eyes, and I can see that second goal, the big rebound that was given up. He's coming up the wing.
One of my favorite hockey plays of all time because it's a set play where they win the faceoff, and Sakic just takes off up the wall. And Adam Foote with the perfect – like, Adam Foote, you think of as, like, the defenseman, not a guy that – contributes a lot of offense.
Not exactly kill the car with this passing.
And it was an absolute perfect up and out off the glass onto Sakic's stick because Colin White sucked and he tried to pinch and hold it in at the blue line. It gets behind him. That's how it creates the 2-on-1. And Sakic receives it, and it's the perfect pass off the pads. Like, New Jersey could not... The only difference that they could have done is Colin White could have tried to actually...
Play defense.
Yeah, tried to actually not... hold that in, but it was such a perfect play from Foote. You don't see guys go high off the glass on a set play like that. And like, it's just, it's like one of those like small hockey things that you notice. And it's absolutely
perfection.
It could not have been executed better on any level from any guy involved.
And how sick is that? In the biggest play, the biggest game, the biggest moment, they execute it that perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, what you dream about.
Yeah, in a 1-1 game.
Yeah, man.
On a defensive zone faceoff.
Pretty
and
cool.
And 6 seconds later, the puck is in the net at the other end. That's what an engine that team was. They were so good and so dangerous. They could do anything they wanted. And
you know what else that team did, just quickly? They lost some games.
We actually talked about it today. You know what they did is they had a 3-1 series lead in the second round
against the LA Kings.
And they got shut out in back-to-back games.
Yikes.
In games 5 and 6. That team shut out in back-to-back games by Felix Pavan, and
I remember this.
They win game 7. Peter Forsberg goes to dinner. ruptures his spleen and misses the rest of the postseason.
Jeez. Crazy.
Good and thing Twitter wasn't around then, huh?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Oh my God, the meltdown.
Yeah, the meltdown.
Well, and then they play the Blues in the conference finals.
Yeah, the Blues is what I had, because I had tickets to, I think it, what, it was game five? I don't know. I'd have to do the math. Anyway, clearly a great memory for me. But
yeah, yeah.
I just remember watching Joe Sakic score one of his iconic goals. I was up in the corner. Joe Sakic, a little wrister from the little dot there.
Tell you what, that wrister made a lot of moments.
Yeah, in his career. Got
wrister
got
from the dot
far.
That covers 70% of his goals.
We've also got crazy. 63 saves from Y and triple overtime against Florida.
That's
right?
Game four.
An absurd number.
You think?
Mean, not really. It's triple overtime.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's true.
But the fact
that it's a Stanley Cup final game, right?
Think about that five overtime game a couple of years ago. Yeah. Where Jonas Korpisalo's first ever playoff game, and he makes 85 saves.
Wasn't there? There was a Colorado high school game this year that went to an absurd amount of overtime. I think it was the state championship. It was like Fort Collins versus someone else. Fort Collins ended up losing, but their goalie made like 79 saves or something.
I'd put it as an honorable mention, Hamburglar. And that game.
What about Craig Anderson?
That game he stole in Nashville. Yeah, Craig Anderson's way up there.
Game three against San Jose in 2010.
Was that a 50-save shutout?
It was. Yeah. I think it was actually 51.
Yeah, there's a one in there for sure.
And
Forsberg
then
6 points.
The
is
funny,
another
the
one.
Funniest thing is that the best part of that was the on ice interview afterward,
which is what
where he Kyle Keefe tries to talk to him, and the crowd won't let him. They're just chanting Andy, and he and like Craig Anderson like knows, and so he's just like standing there, and he's got like the slyest grin on his face, he knows he just shut down. The best team in hockey that year was the Sharks. The Sharks, that Sharks team ruled.
Yeah.
And, like, he just locked them down. And because the Avs won that, they got outshot, like, 51-18, and they win 1-0.
Right, on a fluky goal.
On an own goal in overtime. Yeah.
Unbelievable. That one really sticks out
That's
to me.
That was actually the first game. That was the first Avs game that I had attended after I moved back.
Oh, that's sick. That is so sick.
In the comments, we have Travis asking, remember when Patrick Waugh...
Is it a Rapids comment?
Just in game three after he declared no more rats.
Yeah, so Patrick Waugh, obviously in the 96 Cup Finals, the Panthers were throwing rats onto the ice after they scored every goal. And
actual rats?
No.
Plastic rats.
Okay.
Rubber rats.
But
you never know in hockey.
The whole thing got started with a real rat.
And real
when
octopi.
Future Blues legend Scott Bellenby hit a rat with his stick, and in the hallway.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
hockey's the greatest,
and
man.
It turned into a whole like that was when their run started, and so that's why the rats became a huge part, like an iconic part of their run. And Patrick Waugh hated it so much he gave up a goal in Game Three, and he like retreated. There's a famous picture. The rats just all around, and he's literally inside the net as they come down. And after the game, he said no more rats, and he didn't give up a goal after that.
Oh my god, that is so fucking badass.
Patrick Waugh is the human embodiment of big dick energy.
Yeah.
Sure.
Unfortunately, that
what a great
that,
way
that
to put
it does not turn off. Directions. It does not turn off.
It's a double-edged BD.
It applies in all facets of life, and it is not always a good thing. Yeah. But in the world of sports, in a singular position such as goaltender,
if the pendulum
it's
of
why
the pendulum
he's the best
balls
ever.
Are swinging in your direction, great.
I can't believe I didn't know that story.
Yeah. You make me rethink no that whole him. Pushing
that's
the
so
glass
epic.
With
yes.
the other coach.
Yes. That's the BDE.
That's the BDE back in for him and the Anaheim coach, right?
Bruce Boudreaux.
We need a no more rats moment.
Well, they need a Patrick Waugh type of player.
I know.
Who doesn't?
I would also say, again, from the 96 series against Florida, Peter Forsberg's first period hat trick in game two.
Yeah. Dennis.
We almost had one last night.
Pretty good way to get off a start in a game. In the
Does he have 6 points in that one?
No.
And then, okay, that's another Forsberg game.
That was a regular season game.
Oh.
We almost had a first period hat trick last night. By the way, shout out to Mile High Prophet, who was here last night. Really put the Prophet in Mile High Prophet. Before the game, he told me Nathan McKinnon's getting a hat trick tonight. So,
ooh,
wow.
I called really? On air that the Avs were going to score first, and it was going to be Nathan McKinnon, and they were going to win the first period.
Let's go.
And so when all those things happened, I was rolling.
And what's messed up about all this is...
It should have been...
We should have been talking today about... Okay, Kadri was amazing, obviously, and all the stuff we talked about.
Yeah. But games then four McKinnon. And five. Yeah.
And that goal...
Is that more impressive than the rookie game three against Minnesota?
Game two? Yeah.
You think yesterday's performance is better?
Yeah. That goal is truly one of the best individual moments I've ever seen in a hockey game.
Dude, that was the dopest goal I've ever seen, all things considered. That drag, that toe drag, was the fastest thing I've ever... Like, I've seen dirty dangles, bro. Not like that, man. That was so... fast, and then the flip, I was just like,
everything he did
like,
was
it, yeah, it was all in of the it. Back of the net so quickly that like he was skating around and was almost back to the Avalanche bench by the time my brain had caught up with what had just happened, and I looked around everyone else's chair, I was like, like I couldn't process it was too goddamn fast.
Yeah, it was madness.
Yeah, the elevation was the part that how quickly he got that thing
to the roof.
And, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And
it sucks it got wasted.
It really does suck. But now he just gets to go do it again tomorrow. I want to finish this talking about the Avs. We'll go around. We're going to finish with AJ.
Kale McCarr's first game.
Yeah. Oh, that's a moment.
And, well, I mean, that game.
Yeah.
It wasn't like one guy. It was like the team was like, yeah, we're going to show Calgary what's up.
Yep. Okay, we're going around. Eric, your concern level about the Avs, 1 to 10.
0.
Andre.
Yeah, I said in the negative on bets.
Yep, I'm at 0. Where are you?
I'm at like a 2.
All right, that's good. Yeah. We can wrap up there. I actually have to go
I
now.
Like strongly believe that this will either be the thing that brings out the best in them, and we'll see it tomorrow, or it's the thing that breaks them and defines the era. I don't think there's any in between. My personal opinion, I don't think that that's going to be that second one, but it happens.
Yeah. Listening to them last night, man, it just inspired a lot of confidence in me.
Didn't even bother.
Yeah.
I skipped it entirely.
Oh, you didn't hear.
I knew what was coming. I didn't need to know it.
They were
I already knew that they were already in St. Louis.
They were unfazed, it felt to me.
That they were already in St. Louis, and I feel like they are going to wander into Enterprise Center tomorrow, dick first, and just drop the hammer.
Oh.
Hell yeah.
Like, holy smokes. I'm of the opinion that they are they're going to like bring the building with them when they clinch the series tomorrow.
We don't want that building.
And well, right, but it's going to be something they can wipe their ass with in the next round. Oh wow.
That sounds wildly uncomfortable, but all the same
I'm of the opinion that they're about to like end that franchise.
Let's go.
Cuz I think the anger is going to be the thing that they take from it. But you have to recognize that the other thing is possible.
Totally.
It's the world of sport for a reason.
And yeah. I believe that is a great place to finish. May you all, man or woman, walk dick first in wherever you go.
Drop the hammer. On YouTube, we have so many little porn bots.
Drop the hammer.
Back
if you click that link tomorrow night after the game, it'll be a highlight of tomorrow night's game.
Exactly.
Let's go. All right.
Exactly.
See you guys later.